May the Lord help us to commence our worship today with hymn number 132. 132. A friend there is, your voices join, ye saints, to praise his name, whose truth and kindness are divine, whose love's a constant flame. Hymn number 132.
Thank you. feel led to read two portions from the most holy word of God. Firstly, from the book of Job and the 19th chapter, and then Paul's epistle to the Philippians in chapter 3. But firstly, the 19th chapter of the book of Job. Then Job answered and said, "How long will ye vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? These 10 times have ye reproached me. Ye are not ashamed that ye make yourselves strange to me. And be it indeed that I have erred, mine error remaineth with myself. If indeed ye will magnify yourselves against me and plead against my reproach, know now that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net. Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I am not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment. He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass, and he hath set darkness in my paths. He hath stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. He hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone, and mine hope hath he removed like a tree. He hath also kindled his wrath against me, and he counteth me unto him as one of his enemies. His troops come together and raise up their way against me, and encamp round about my tabernacle. He hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are verily estranged from me. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body. Yea, young children despise me. I arose, and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do ye persecute me as God, and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written, oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock for ever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. But ye should say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in me? Be ye afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth the punishments of the sword, that ye may know that there is a judgment. and turning to Paul's epistle to the Philippians and reading the third chapter. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us those portions of his most holy word and grant all needed help now in prayer. most merciful, ever gracious and almighty Lord God. O, do solemnize our hearts and minds now, O Lord, we plead, that we might rightly approach unto Thee, Thou who art most holy. Yes, at one thrice holy, 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 holy Lord God Almighty. And to have that solemn view of what we are in the reality of it, a sinner, sinners. Yes, sinners in the sight of a holy and a heart-searching God. Oh, shall we not then tremble in measure at thy presence? But oh, what a mercy if there is that pressing toward that mark by that which is wrought in the heart by the Holy Spirit. That one that we once despised, a precious Christ, yes, that one we once despised, we view now set down upon the right hand of the Father, having accomplished that in the sinner's room, place, and stead, in his sufferings, in his death, and his merits, but risen indeed, ascended on high, and waits to be gracious, and that the voice of poor sinners' cries will answer them. Oh, for a poor sinner to view one there, that please the Father, that please the Father by the offering of himself once and for all, yea, as a Lamb of God once slain, to the satisfaction of the demands of the law, that broken law, that law which we have broken. Yea, we've each come forth, have we not, from the loins of Adam. We were conceived in sin and shape in iniquity, and who can know it? But oh, convince us of our sin. Original sin, yes. But also to see and to have a knowledge of those sins that we have committed, and to see how vile and wretched and ruined and undone we are, but all to view Christ as the one thing needful, the one that is needful, I without him perish must. And oh, blessed be God, even this Sabbath morning, the foulest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Oh, to see that one as their glorious high priest, their advocate with the Father. Yes, that one that entered in through that veil that was rent in that day, as our glorious high priest entered into the holiest, and with his own heart's blood. Oh, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. But oh, to see that precious blood, sprinkled upon the mercy seat. And oh, we plead, likewise we might see that blood by faith, sprinkle upon the doorposts and lintels of our heart, that place of safety. Was it not so unto the children of Israel, when thou didst bring them up out of the land of Egypt? That night in which the Passover was instituted, and they had to sprinkle that blood of the sacrifice upon the doorposts and lintels of their dwelling. For thou hast said, and thou didst say, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And so there was safety, safety where the blood was seen, but death where it was not. Oh, dear Lord, Work in our hearts mightily. Leave us not to a form of religion which hath no power. But oh, to know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. Oh, give me Christ or else I die. That which is of reality. That which is more than notion, something known and felt within. O Lord, we plead then, look upon us each in mercy, as thou hast spared us to gather even this Sabbath day, once again in thy courts, and to realize of a truth thou hast not cut us off as our sins deserve, and in wrath thou hast remembered mercy. Yea, we're still upon praying ground. The door of mercy is not closed, and the day of grace has not ended. O Lord, we plead then, take us each in hand from the youngest here to the oldest. And may we have that sense of our frailty. Yes, there are those reminders, are there not, of the frailty of man, and that there is that natural time to be born, and a time to die, and after death the judgment. Oh, may it please thee. Ah, we might be brought even to these lines. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face, for thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience clothe and wash me in his blood. So shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. Oh, leave us not to be found wanting in that day when the bridegroom shall appear. Oh, how solemn. We often think of that account in thy word, the five wise and the five foolish. They are waiting there for the bridegroom to appear. Both, yes, with their lamps and their vessels. And perhaps on the outward appearance they seem the same. For those that were wise, they had oil not only in their vessel, in their lamps, but in their vessels. They were prepared. Prepared. And yet there were those who were foolish and unseen to anyone looking on. There was perhaps a meagre amount of oil left in the lamp, and nothing in the vessel. Oh, how solemn. And the bridegroom, yes, whilst those foolish had gone to seek to obtain, as their lamps had gone out, the bridegroom came. And those wise were ushered in to that marriage feast. And yet, how solemn when they those foolish returned. The door was shut. How solemn those words are. The door was shut. Not to be opened. Oh, how solemn. Lord, do then work in our hearts mightily that which we cannot of ourselves. Ah, break the hardest heart of the hardest stone. Give the heart of flesh and those new and living desires. Ah, may there be that coming up because thou hast up to thy courts, because thou hast bored the ear to the doorpost, because thou hast wrought that in their heart, they come to hear what the Lord might speak. Their desire is that they might receive. Ah, yes, that from through thy word, through the fruition of preaching, that regarding thy salvation to be made known unto them. So we plead for each and every one. Remember each that are away taking rest and change or away for those various reasons. And remember those that are unable to gather in thy courts this morning. And our thoughts go to one David in his deep affliction. Lord, as we've been acquainted of it and the circumstances, oh, we plead for him. Lord, remember him in his hospital bed. Make even that bed a Bethel to him. Thou canst do it. We know there are those that know a little of this. And oneself, we trust, we proved it so. A hospital bed can be made such a blessing. A place where let us meet a poor sinner in his need. Lord, go to him where he is. And may he feel those everlasting arms underneath him. Speak the word only. Oh, be a comforter to him. Be unto him as that one, that shepherd. Oh, that shepherd that goes before his sheep and leads them forth by that right way, that they might go to that city of habitation, whose builder and maker is God. Lord, do then remember him. Manage all for him. Undertake for him. Ah, yes, in all things thou knowest his need. His needs are great, but thou art greater than his needs. Remember the family also as they look on. Ah, grant them that strength sufficient. Oh, grant them that help day to day. Lord, thou knowest. And even as we find those things coming to our own families, they cause much anxious thought. Ah, and many a prayer goes up, does it not? A groan, a burden of a sigh goes up unto thee concerning this or that one. Lord, do hear those pleas, those groanings, those sighs on account of one another. Are we reading thy word, do we not? Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Oh, do grant that gracious enabling. Lord, do then remember them here. Remember once again the dear young friends, Lord, the little ones, those that are growing up. Oh, it's a present evil world. Ah, many evils of this day, we plead that thou hast keep them. Keep them, hedge them about. Ah, grant parents wisdom and knowledge and understanding as they seek to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ah, to counter those evils of the day. Or where evil is called good and good is called evil. The law is slacked. Lord, do then remember them. Remember those that bear the heat and burden of the day. In the midst of life. And yes, whether it is those younger ones that are now in those scenes where they have much studying for future pathways. And those that are in those scenes of life, whether it is the housewife and mother in the home, those in their work scenes and business scenes, Lord, it's a fast-moving age. And sometimes we wonder where the scene will end. We're rushed along. Lord, do then, in them to cast their burdens upon thee, to seek thy face in all things. Ah, yes, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Oh, may they prove it so. And Lord, remember those in the even time of life, they feel the mud-walled cottage shake. Ah, bring to their remembrance all the way which thou hast led them. Bring to their remembrance all the words which thou hast spoken unto them. Oh, we plead for them. Ah, we think of one another. Thou hast spared them even to great age. And now they find, yes, a grasshopper becomes a burden. But Lord, remember them. Remember those that care for those with age and infirmity, the infirmities of age. Oh, we plead for them. And do remember, Lord, any in their afflictions and trials and things hard to be understood. Oh, we know thy word declares this, through much tribulation ye shall enter the kingdom. Thorns also and thistles. But oh, we thank thee that thy word also declares this. I'll not leave you comfortless, I'll come to you. Ah, yes, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And when we prove this, all this precious truth, concerning the Christ of God, one that took our frame and remembers we are but dust. Is there not there this one that's a friend that loveth at all times? A brother born for adversity? Oh, we proved it so. Ah, may each one prove it so in their times of adversity, times of affliction, times of difficulty, times when they walk in darkness and troubles after trouble seem to assail them. Lord, may they prove, ah, yes, that one, a brother born for adversity. And so remember each one according to their path. We thank thee for that measure of healing and restoring to one as we please see him in the vestry just now. Oh, we thank thee for this. But Lord, we thank thee for the means, and we seek thy blessing upon the means as oneself as we stand here this day. Proved over the past year those means which thou hast been pleased to bless. We're still dependent upon those means as thou dost bless them. Oh, we seek thy blessing upon the means. Oh, we do not just look to the means, we look to one, that great physician. That great physician that has given man wisdom in our day and age to find out this and find out that. And so as we look to the means, we may venture upon the means, we look to one who is above all these things, the creator of all things. Yes, even those things which through that wisdom given to man, those medicines we take, or who created that which is contained within them. Did not the wise creator create them? Thou formed when thou didst form the earth. And so we would not just venture upon these things like the world, but we seek thy blessing upon them. And so as thou hast helped this poor one through this past 14 months or more, oh, we will record thy goodness and mercy. Come even with the psalmist, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. And do remember thy true church in this dark and evil day, we're ministered and brought low. Oh, if it could please thee, come like the psalmist, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Oh, revive us, Lord, we plead. Keep out the ways of the world. We see there is that leaven that begins to leaven the whole lump. We plead it might not be so. But the spirit of the world, the maxims of the world, the ways of the world, the fashions of the world, it all begins to creep in. May we be found amongst those that ask after the old paths, contend for the old paths, the faith once delivered to the saints. But all we plead, do have mercy upon us. But we thank thee for that promise that where two or three gather together in thy name, there thou wilt be in the midst. Oh, we thank thee then when we prove in those times and seasons when we go here and there, there are just a few, one or two or three. And Lord, remember also this guilty land and nation. Show our leaders what they ought to do. Break their hard hearts, O Lord. Ah, we feel that the fear of God is not in their thoughts or in their understanding. Their actions seem to speak that there is no. Their thoughts are there is no God. The fool hath said in his heart there is no God. Oh, do yet open the eyes of the blind, unstop deaf ears. May there be yet even that done in our day, even in our nation. Revive thy work in the midst of our years. In the midst of our years make known, in wrath remember mercy. We deserve thy just judgments, but we believe thou hast heard the cries of the remnant. Oh, may we ever be stirred up to cry more earnestly. Ah, yes, concerning the abominations done in the land. Oh, have mercy then, Lord, we plead. But do remember then each that have the rule over us, we're exhorted to pray for them, those in authority. Ah, we know there are some that fear thee. Oh, may they have that courage to stand up and to speak, not to court men's smiles nor fear their frowns. Lord, do then remember us. But we thank thee for thy mercies and thy favours extended to us still. We can still gather here without the fear of man or authority. None can lawfully make us afraid. We thank thee for this. And thy word, we have it in its entirety. Maintain it to the generations that follow. But now, O Lord, we have to come like this. Man cannot be satisfied with bread alone. We've been satisfied for that for our bodies, have we not, this day? But now, O Lord, may we be found amongst those that hunger and thirst after thee and after thy righteousness. Man cannot live by bread alone, but it is by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. Oh, do break the bread of life unto us. May thy word be unto us meat and drink. May it be that which lifts up our weak hands and confirms our feeble knees. May it be that which we can take home and beat out. May it do us good even in the days to come. Oh Lord, do help this poor one now. Pardon and forgive then our many, many sins, our often failings. Oh, wash us each in thy precious sin atoning blood. We plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 511, 511. In all my troubles and distress, the Lord my soul does own. Jehovah does my griefs redress and makes his mercy known. Hymn number 511.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn to the book of Job and the 19th chapter that we read there, and read verses 25, 26 and 27. For I know, says the 19th chapter of the book of Job, verses 25, 26 and 27, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Account of Job, and certainly some of the saints down through the ages, how thankful they have been that that account is in Holy Writ. It is in Holy Writ. And what a mercy when we know that none is so tried as Job. But each heart knows its own bitterness. And each one, yes, as the word of God declares concerning his people, it is through much tribulation ye shall enter the kingdom. It is thorns also and thistles. But like Job, that which was wrought in him by Almighty God, yes, that faith to believe. Faith to believe, yes, as it was with Job, in one yet to come. But we know with the apostles, we read that account in his epistle to the Philippians. He likewise walked by faith concerning Christ that was made known to him. And so we likewise in our paths, we walk by faith and not by sight. But what a mercy if that by faith is wrought in our hearts. Yes, and it is often in paths of tribulation. Tribulation. Trials, afflictions and difficulties, they come not by chance. They are ordered. The Lord orders them. It's a sovereign God. My mind has been much upon that which we read in that which the Apostle Peter wrote in his epistle concerning afflictions and tribulations. Yes, we read there as the Apostle Peter in his first epistle, he speaks thus, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." To us, naturally it's a strange thing. No doubt to Job it seemed a strange path, one thing after another. Yes, you know the account of Job. I don't have to recount it, but you read it at your leisure. But it was one thing after another. One thing after another. He's brought to that place where it seemed as if it was dark in his soul. Dark in his soul. Dark in his soul. But nevertheless, even in that day of darkness and distress, is a mercy indeed if there is that which is by grace. That which is of the Spirit working within. Though damped, it can never die. And even here, as we read it this morning, he was unable to say, "I know. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." We know, I believe, in that way, to a certain extent, it regards the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and his condescension. But I believe also he had that knowledge of one that shall come again the second time without sin unto salvation. I know that my Redeemer liveth. My Redeemer liveth. There's this knowledge as a knot made known unto him. And it was that little light that shone in his darkness. That little light that shone in his darkness. And it's a mercy indeed, yes, when we prove from time to time in those dark seasons, those trying situations, those afflictions, those things which the Lord is pleased to bring upon us, that from time to time we prove this as that light that shines in our darkness. That which shows forth the reality of our religion. There are many that have a religion that will not stand in trials and tribulations. Will not stand the test of that great storm, that last great storm at last. That when we have to come, yes, down to the swellings of Jordan, it will not stand them. It just stands in the flesh and in this time state. But oh, to have that which stands when all everything else fails. When everything else fails, it will have something in that first hymn that we had. When we prove that even as the hymn writer, this friend, the friend of sinners, that friend that loveth at all times, a brother born for adversity, that one that, made known unto them in measure that of his salvation, that which he hath done, in their room, place, and stead, through his sufferings, his death, and his merits. And you prove then that there's a friend. These friends that Job spoke of, that came to visit him. They're not like this friend that sticketh close, that sticketh closer than a brother. They spoke many things, did they not, concerning Job that were not right. They did not understand or perceive the right perception of the situation or that which he was in. And even his wife said, well, curse God and die. It's a lonely place. A lonely place. But not alone. Oh, how many times I've turned to the book of Job. Yes, and you read that chapter when he cannot perceive the Lord on his right hand or his left, behind or before. Have you known those dark places, poor sinner? They're real. They're real. But Job even there could say, he knoweth the way, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He knoweth the way that I take. He knoweth the end from the beginning. He hath purposed it. He hath caused it to come. Yes, our old carnal reasoning might say this or that regarding this situation or that situation that we find ourselves in, or afflictions and difficulties. But all must come and last and end, as shall please our heavenly friend. But what a mercy if, yes, when everything else gives way, when everything else is coming to nothing, heart and flesh begin to fail. You prove this. Your hope is founded upon the rock, which is Christ. Founded upon that one which is that sure foundation, the foundation of the church, which the gates of hell shall not prevail against. There's a poor sinner's hope is only standing. It's not anything of the flesh or anything of time and sense. Job had to prove that, did he not? Things of time and sense were not doing that day. Loved ones in that, yes, they can comfort in their measure, but old Job in his day, he proved that even those even nearest to him were of little comfort or no comfort at all. But this is where the Lord's people prove the promise, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll come to you. He comes to them as that one, their Redeemer. Their Redeemer. Their hope. Their hope, yes, for time of eternity. Their hope in that one that gave his life a ransom. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. I believe, as I said a little earlier, that regards the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is in his incarnation. One verily God, verily man. But also I believe Job could see that one that he should see in that day when his dust, the dust of his body, that corrupt dust, that which was laid in the grave, incorruption, be raised again incorruptible. Yes, like that one that should also return, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second time, as we said a little earlier, without sin unto salvation, because that work is finished. The work is finished. But it comes to this, does it not? How stands it with you and I? How stands the case with you and I? We might stand here in a measure of strength today. But what if tomorrow that strength is removed? We're brought to that place of helplessness. All props taken away. Perhaps even like the apostle, we've rested upon something which was no more than a religion of the flesh. A religion of the flesh. But oh, how solemn if we come to the end of our days. We're depending upon something of time and sense or that which moth and rust will corrupt, or that which is like it was with the apostle, no more than that which is of the flesh, rotten props. What a mercy if through affliction's path and trying scenes, we're brought away from those rotten props. We're brought away from those things which will fail at last, or will have to be left this side of eternity, left here. They cannot do any good in the swellings of Jordan. We're brought to that, whereby we have a little hope in one. The sinner's friend. Brought to have a little hope in that one that truly did take upon himself that body and nature like unto our own, yet without sin. Made under the law, so as to be able to satisfy it in your room, place, and stead. There is no other salvation. It's not to be found anywhere else. But in Christ alone, Oh, what a mercy it is when we're brought by faith to see and to hear what Almighty God spake concerning his Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. We might hear the voice of precious Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Heavy laden sinners, Mary's Manassas, like the Apostle Paul that wrote that epistle to the Philippians, he had to say this of himself, of sinners of whom I am chief. He once had no need of Christ. He saw no beauty in Christ. He didn't see his need. We know that Job, when the Lord spake out of that whirlwind, you read it a little later on, the Lord spake to him out of the whirlwind. And what did Job answer, if I can find it? The Lord spake to him, and it brought him to this. If I can find it, but he had to come to this. I am vile. And I said the Apostle Paul, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He brought to know what he was by nature. Brought to see, as it was revealed to him, his sins and his iniquities. O wretched man that I am. He had to declare himself wretched. Wretched and undone. But what did he come to? By faith he was brought to this. As Christ was revealed to him, that one he once despised. But he's brought to this. But I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There was his hope. I believe that was where Job's hope was. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, he ever liveth. Having accomplished that in the Garden of Gethsemane and upon the cross at Calvary. Yes, you read of the sufferings of Christ. And what a mercy when in your trials and tribulations and afflictions and difficulties, the Lord sanctifies it. Yes, and you view your sufferings, then you view Christ. His sufferings were so intense that angels have no perfect sense. He drank the cup quite up, did he not? We do but taste it. Oh, when there's that tasting of the cup, viewing Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane and upon the cross at Calvary, made a curse for on account of the sins of his chosen, his church, his bride. Cursed is every one that hangeth upon a tree, made a curse, but he bore the curse, despised the shame. Ah, what are our sufferings then? What are our sufferings? Though Job was brought to realize that, what were his sufferings compared to what Christ had suffered in his room, place, and stead? He could see the end of all his sufferings, yes. When he shall be laid in the grave to wait that resurrection morning. I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. There shall come that time when, yes, that which was corrupt, and that, well, we know that all that afflictions and troubles and trials are all because of sin. Death came because of sin. So there will be that death of the body. That natural death of the body. But all the hope of the Lord's people is this. Raised again. They shall be raised again. Do we not read of that, if I can find it? But all they shall, in that physical way. In that physical way. The apostle wrote, did he not, to the Corinthians in that 15th chapter, I believe it is. I turned to the wrong chapter just now. But all there with that arising again. That raised, that's laid in the grave in corruption. Be raised again in incorruption. Through what Christ hath done. Through the satisfaction of the law, that broken law. Gave his life a ransom. And yea, he shed his own heart's blood. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. I believe Job could see. Well, I believe in Abraham in his day could see. God shall provide himself a lamb, he declared to his son Isaac. God shall provide himself a lamb. That lamb of God that should shed his own heart's blood. The eternal Son. God the Son. The Christ of God. God made flesh. And that one that was laid in the grave those 3 days. There was no corruption there. He was spotless in and of himself. He was spotless, pure and undefiled. Rose again victorious. Ascended on high. And ever liveth. He ever liveth. He ever liveth to intercede for his people with those groanings which cannot be uttered. And there shall come that day. When the dead in Christ shall rise first. And they shall be raised with that body which is not corruptible anymore. It shall be raised in incorruption. That body and nature like unto his own. As a son or a daughter by blessed adoption. An heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. Oh, that one that feels himself to be on a dunghill now. Groaning under a burden of sin, but brought to that place, Lord, have mercy upon me. Speak the word only. Say unto my soul, I'm thy salvation. Ah, that's something real, is it not? Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Ah, perhaps you come like this. Or reveal thyself to me as thou didst make it known unto Job. Make thyself known unto Job. Even through that which, yes, in that way, you read the next, I believe, a chapter or two further on. He spake, did he not? Oh, that I knew where I might find him. But there was this desire, this longing once again, the Lord might reveal himself to him in love and mercy. Love and mercy. You read that 23rd chapter of Job. Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. That I might come even to his seat. That groaning of a burdened prisoner. I believe the Lord hears the groanings of prisoners. Well, we know that as regards Job, the Lord did appear. And his latter end was better than his beginning. And even the apostle, he could speak this, did he not? Concerning even that wrought in him by the Spirit. This hope. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? Perhaps you feel you can't come very far. But you look at the middle of that chapter, that epistle of Philippians, that third chapter. There's that wrought in him. Yes, he had to confess that all that he had before was nothing but dung and dross, that which is of the flesh. Gloried in the flesh, it no doubt went with a proud spirit. But all he found amongst those with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Know what it is to, yes, tremble at his word. Know what it is, yes, to groan under, as we say, that burden of sin. But all has been that wrought in your heart, that I may know him. That I may know him. In the reality of it, yes, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in the theory of it. There are many that have a theory of religion. Even a theory of Christ. But to know it in the reality of it. Christ formed in the heart the hope of glory. That I may know him. Is that your desire? In the reality of it. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Oh, what a mercy that is your desire. And so as the apostle in that chapter, there's that reaching forth. What a mercy, that work of grace. That work of grace, there'll be that wrought in the heart by the Spirit, and there'll be that reaching forth, pressing toward the mark, forgetting of those things which are behind. Yes, can you look back, poor sinner, to that which you were? The pathway, the troubles and the trials. Perhaps those things which have, yes, brought you to this point. Sometimes we look back to those times and seasons and those afflictions. The Lord used those afflictions for as a means to bring us to this place here. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Yes, not in the theory of it, but in divine reality. And the comfort of it, the hope of it. Job, we know that all that had taken place regards all that belonged to him, his family, and also that which was laid upon his body, that affliction. He sat there, did he not, with those boils that covered his body. No doubt he must have wondered what the end of that would be. But there, this hope in the midst of it all. Although after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. And in this way, and religion is personal, salvation is personal. It's your soul, your eternity, your sins. And to have this knowledge, to come even like this, whom I shall see for myself. And mine eyes shall behold, and not another. Is that your desire that you might likewise see for yourself? They might be to the joy and rejoicing of your soul. There's that pressing toward the mark. And the Spirit will enable you so to do. The Spirit, yes, without the Spirit, our hope would come to nothing. If it's that of the work of God in the heart of a poor sinner, the Spirit will enable that one to press on. He'll know what it is to go again and again to the closet. And perhaps his desire will be this, again and again, give me Christ, or else I die. Few words, but it comes from the very soul. It's the need of the soul, the desire of the soul desiring that which is real. Crying out for the living God, oh, the living God. So that without pressing toward the mark, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Ah, may the Lord enable you so to do. Yes, perhaps like Job, you find those that oppress you. Not on their, only on the outside, but on the inside. You find that old nature. The old man of sin, yes, he'll oppress you. Satan will oppress you. Stir up others to oppress you, perhaps. But nevertheless, there's that pressing toward the mark. Is it not because of this? I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. I will work, and who shall let it? None can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? I press toward the mark. That seemed to stand out before me this morning as well. These words, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Ah, you found amongst those pressing toward the mark. Yes, the apostle said, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Ah, perhaps in that way I can speak like this, not that full assurance of faith. But what a mercy that little light has shone through the lattice of the gospel, through the fusion of preaching, that has been made known unto you, that by the Spirit has been sealed upon your heart. Ah, yes, and it brings you to this. You must have more. You want a clearer sight. You want a clearer sight. Such is your sin and your iniquities and your need of a Saviour, and that to have that Saviour reveal himself to you and to say unto you, I am thy salvation. I am thy salvation. To see your sins laid upon that one that was spotless, pure and undefiled. And to see that it pleased the Father. It pleased the Father. I know I spoke of it before, but it comes again. Many months ago now, a few years ago now, burdened again because of sin and iniquities that seem to oppress and distress. I seem to be walking in darkness. And here was that groaning before the Lord. Groaning before the Lord, and I got to a certain place, the day of my business and going about those things of time. And the Lord heard the groaning of this prisoner. He spake like that as we spoke regarding Almighty God, spake concerning the Son. This is my beloved Son. There's a fullness there, poor sinner. In the Son of God once slain, the Lamb of God once slain. The hymn writer put it like this, the fullness resides in Jesus our head that ever abides the answer our need. This is my beloved Son, as it was spoken to this poor sinner that day. In whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. Just for a moment, all the the blessedness of it. Just for a moment, one was revealed to my soul, to the joy and rejoicing of my soul. I might, yes, even that way, the knowledge of my Redeemer. Not one that was just laid in the grave, never rose again, but one risen indeed. Ah, poor sinner, that one that is risen indeed, that one that Job saw by the eye of faith, that one that the Apostle Paul declared of, he ever liveth. He ever liveth. And even this very morning, this Sabbath morning, for some poor sinner groaning, being burdened. Yes, he waits to be gracious, and the voice of thy cry will answer thee. Comes right where they are. Shows him that fullness of his salvation. Reveals that poor sinner the beauties of Christ. And that poor sinner then, he can say this. He is precious. He is precious. He is the altogether lovely. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself. And mine eyes shall behold. Oh, what a day that must be. What a day it will be. When that poor sinner raised again, incorruptible, with a body without corruption. Then shall there not be that singing the worthy praise of the Lamb. In all the fullness of it. We carry about with us a body of sin and death here below. And there is sin mixed with all we do. But all in that day. Not the lattice of the gospel, but see him face to face. Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. Although my reins be consumed within me. Yes, at the moment, dear old Job. A body of sin and death. A body of sin and death. But yes, his latter end was better than his beginning. And will not that be so with each of the Lord's people? May the path of tribulation, trials and deep afflictions. But oh, that one. Bound up in that covenant order and all things unsure. Shut in with Christ. Yes, shut in with Christ, like it was with Noah in his day. Noah in his day shut in the ark, Almighty God shut him in. And when the depths were broken up and the waters rose, it was a place of safety, place of safety. Oh, what a mercy when the swellings of Jordan, that one last conflict this side of eternity, found bound up in that covenant, ordering all things unsure, shut in with Christ, because he has loved that poor sinner with an everlasting love, that love will not forsake them. What a mercy indeed. What a mercy. May the Lord be pleased then to bless those few remarks, those two portions of his most holy word. And may there be something which remains according to his good pleasure, and it have that effect. Ah, yes, we have eternity before us each, have we not? A time naturally to be born, and a time to die, and after death the judgment. But all to be found in that day, washed in the Redeemer's blood. Oh, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. Washed in the Redeemer's blood. To be found in that day as a son or daughter by blessed adoption. Yes, this side of eternity, a beggar poor at mercy's door. But in that day, a son or a daughter by blessed adoption, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. Amen.
God willing, Sunday school will be at Bethany this afternoon. Mr. Timothy Kingham will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Jonathan Buss next Lord's Day, and he will also administer the Lord's Supper. Let us close with hymn 789. 789. O ye sons of men, be wise. Trust no longer dreams and lies. Out of Christ, almighty power can do nothing but devour. Hymn 789.
Thank you.
pictures of thee. Ah, may thy word remain, the images of thee remain, and thou be glorified. For the work is thine, the power is thine, we're but the instrument. Cover with the mantle of thy forgiving love over all thou hast heard and seen amiss. Do be pleased to come up with us again at this evening hour. O Lord, once again we feel that emptiness. O grant, Lord, that of thy fullness. Lord, we look to thee. So grant unto us each as we have the interval and the time between the services, oh, there might be that pouring out our hearts before thee, according to our need, yes, as speaker and hearers. O Lord, do then have mercy upon us. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.